I am joined on the line now by Peter Diamondstone. He co-founded the Liberty Union Party in 1970 and is now that party's candidate for the U.S. Senate. Thank you so much for joining us today, Peter.
My pleasure.
Now, can you first tell us sort of in a nutshell, what is the Liberty Union platform?
You know, I can just say it's a socialist platform. And it's best summed up in its first sentence. It says the wealth and resources of the planet should be used by government to provide a materially secure life for all the people on the planet, including socialized health care. And it everything else in the follows from that. But the last paragraph is about not fighting any war, refusing to kill or burn, no matter who orders us to. And in that regard, we should look at Leahy and Sanders, Shumlin, the Doobie brothers, and Welch as a community of interests in terms of bringing fighter bombers to Burlington. And Liberty Union has voted to brand all members of Congress who voted to provide the Zionist state in Palestine. The resolution was Israel, but I don't use that term. The Zionist state in Palestine in its war against the people of Gaza. All of them are war criminals. And we see that duplicated again in the bombing of hospitals by, while we bitch and moan about what the Russians are doing in Aleppo, we're doing the same thing all over the world.
Peter, when you say that war should never be an option, according to the platform, does that include, let's say, if the country is attacked, would you also not agree to war, you know, as a matter of self-defense?
This country is so well armed, there's nobody going to invade us. Let me spell that out for you. I want to close all our bases. I want a zero military budget. I want total unilateral nuclear and conventional weapon disarmament. And that's not really conventional. That's nuclear weapons, too, because the ammunition is made with uranium. And an embargo so that no weapons or ammunition can be shipped out of this country to anyone else. We can't sell it or any other get rid of it in any other way. What is produced, it has to stay here. We are not going to finance wars all over the world as we are doing now.
It sounds like this is one of the most important issues for you in this campaign. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's one of the most, yes.
Any others you feel very strongly about?
Oh, sure. You know, one of the things about capitalism is it urges us to expand production and make more and more crap. I advocate a 20-hour work week for 40 hours pay. I want us to not produce so much, that we produce too much as it is.
I'd like to ask about the federal EB-5 visa program. It's been at the center of the alleged fraud case in the Northeast Kingdom. Now, Senator Patrick Leahy has said that the EB-5 program should not be renewed without further reform, and I'm wondering what your position on the program would be.
This is for people who are going to come in temporarily and work?
Well, it's a program that gives foreign investors a path to citizenship if they put a certain amount of money into investments in places like here in Vermont in the United States.
I'm talking about reducing production, and they're talking about increasing production. We need to produce less, not more. We just need to divide the work up differently with 20 hours of work for 40 hours pay. And that way we produce less, we work less at work, and we have time for ourselves. We don't need to have 40 hours of work. All that happens is the profits are ripped. The more we work, the more the profits are taken. And that's the other end of this. And that is that all the major means of production and distribution must be community owned. I call for the nationalization of all without any compensation to the current owners. I'm talking about a confiscatory tax on ownership that brings ownership into the hands of the people of all the major means of production and distribution, including drug companies.
What role should the United States play, if any, in the conflict in Syria?
We already are playing the role. We're the ones who started that war by financing the revolutionaries, as we did in Libya. It's the same story over again. We keep financing revolutions to overthrow the people we don't want, like Gaddafi and now what's his name in Syria. Unfortunately, we've run into a complication, which is that the Russians don't want him overthrown at this particular time.
You're talking about Assad?
Mm-hmm.
Domestically, President Obama nominated Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court in March, but Senate Republicans, they've refused to take up that nomination, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Do you think Judge Garland's nomination should be voted on? And if so, do you think he should be approved to the Supreme Court?
Yes, I do believe he should be approved. And there's no reason not to approve it except the recalcitrance of the Republican majority. There's one other level that has to do with my libertarian views. I'm sure that some people don't realize I'm a libertarian. Libertarians stand for non-interference in the process of business and enterprise. And the biggest interference are three. First, patents. Second, copyrights. And third, the creation of corporations to protect business people from having to pay for their torts. And so I'm in favor of doing away with all of those. And if that seems to create a hardship for writers, inventors, musicians, creators of all kinds, it won't in a socialist society where we ask that each contribute according to ability and each take according to need. And in a socialist society, that's what it would be. What people need will be supplied to each other. And we expect in return that people will be creative to the best of their ability. And that means no more creation of art, so-called, like on public television, for the purpose of making money, but for the purpose of artistic expression. And in that regard, I'm opposed to what we now, right now, the working class subsidizes the wealthy as they go to Harvard and so forth, because Harvard doesn't pay any tax, like Trump doesn't pay any tax on its investments. Why not? Why shouldn't they pay tax on their investments? Why should we be able to create trusts with the money for wealth instead of taking it from them in taxes? Then it would be subject to the rule of all the people rather than just the decisions of the wealthy.
Peter, wouldn't some of your libertarian leanings, though, naturally go against the socialist platform?
Well, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, socialism sort of demands that there are going to be taxes placed on people, whether it's the wealthy or the more well-to-do. And a libertarian view of someone like Gary Johnson would say there's too much government interference already.
Don't put me in the class with Johnson.
Even though he's a libertarian.
He says he's a libertarian, but he's not. If he was a libertarian, he would be in favor of doing away with patents and copyrights and corporate formations. And we want to do away with it because we don't need it anymore, because the major means of production and distribution would be owned by the community, whether it be automobile production, whether it be rail, whether it be energy. It would all belong to the people, not to any private individual.
At the end of September, Congress passed a stopgap bill to fund the government through December, and that budget provided funding for things like fighting the Zika virus. It's been repeatedly delayed, though, after a lot of partisan disputes over funding for Planned Parenthood. I'm wondering, as a senator, how would you strike a balance between upholding ideological principles and making compromises that can help get necessary legislation
passed?
Well,
that's one I wouldn't make. Hmm. I would not abandon the funding of Planned Parenthood under any circumstances. That's one of the highest priorities I respect, is that one. And in that regard, we need to think about the population of the world and about the environment that we're going to live in. Is it going to be one that has freedom for people to make decisions about their own lives, or is it going to be one in which we have a compelling minority controlling things, and as we are now? And as far as I'm concerned, would not be a problem under a socialist state. And not only would we have community ownership of the drug manufacturers and the distribution, but we would have control over, we the people would have control over the development of other drugs, whether they're non-prescription or prescription, and even those non-prescriptions that are illegal, such as cocaine. I'm one of those people who favors the nationalization or the socialization of the drug industry at all levels and in all areas. And I have no problem with letting people get their drugs from hospitals, doctors, and pharmacies. And I think we need to allow that to happen, but it's got to be a socialist system, not a private enterprise. Right now we have private enterprise in illegal drugs. And the reason we have private enterprise is because it's illegal. So one of the things we need to do is make sure that it's not illegal, number one, and number two, that it's those kinds of drugs are provided and offered to the community at cost. Not one penny over cost, no taxes, nothing. Once you raise the cost of that to the community, what you're doing is creating the basis for a black market.
Am I hearing you say also that you would be in favor of legalizing drugs, as perhaps your libertarian leanings might?
Well, that's the second step. The first step is that the community takes over the distribution and the production and the importation. The important part is the nationalization of the industry. The second part of it is, well, why not? Why should it not be legal?
What about stricter gun control laws? As a senator, would you push for those?
Well, there's the one area that's quite clear to me, which is background checks. And I do favor that. I am a Second Amendment person. The First Amendment is about freedom of expression, and that's derived from that part of the Declaration of Independence that says, we tried, we talked to them, we sent messengers, we sent envoys, and they wouldn't listen. And so the second part of it is, in the Declaration, well, therefore, we have the right and the obligation to take up arms in revolt. Well, so too, the Second Amendment is what protects our right to do that, but in a regulated militia. And I'm not talking about National Guard. I would do away with the National Guard, which is just an adjunct of the United States military. We need a militia that is a people's militia. And in spite of my nonviolent position, there may come a time where we have to take up arms in revolution.
You do favor universal background checks, though, as you said.
And expanding that to make sure that time limits don't let us shortcut that. We should never shortcut those background checks.
And what about bans on particular types of weapons?
No, I think that whatever weapons the government has, the people should be able to have, except for atomic weapons, nuclear weapons, because there's international law that prohibits that. But if the government has a tank, we should have tanks. If the government has machine guns. We should have machine guns. But mind you, I said I want to totally disarm. So on the one hand, I'm saying we should be able to have what the government has, but let's hope that we can disarm our own government so that we can disarm ourselves.
Let's talk about seniority for a minute, because that makes a senator more powerful. And, of course, Patrick Leahy has been in the Senate a very, very long time.
So very long, 74.
He's got some power. Why should Vermonters reject Pat Leahy, who is the most senior member of the U.S. Senate now?
Well, I began saying he's a war criminal.
It's a rather serious charge, Mr. Diamondstone.
Well, the Liberty Union has voted that by consensus, that any member of the Congress that has voted to replenish the arms used by the Zionist state against the people of Gaza, any one of them is a war criminal, and that comes from the principle that the those who aid and abet are as guilty as the perpetrator. And so Leahy and Sanders are as guilty as the perpetrators of the attacks on Gaza. And, of course, they're guilty on the same grounds for financing the Saudi Arabian invasion. I can't describe it more. It's more powerfully, the invasion, the attack on Yemen. That's almost as bad as the United States in Afghanistan. If you'll remember, we went to Afghanistan because Afghanistan refused to extradite bin Laden. Well, we've taken care of that problem, so why aren't we out of there?
You originally said this year that you would not run for office. You have struggled with some health problems, I understand. What made you decide to run again this year?
Well, I never run. I decided to be a candidate. You know, this is a job application. It's not a game. I decided to be a candidate because we didn't have a candidate for the U.S. Senate. And I didn't want to be a party without a candidate, particularly when we're talking about war criminals. And when we're talking about bringing fighter bombers to Burlington. You can't arm any more than that, can you?
What do you hope your candidacy accomplishes?
Sending me to Congress, sending me to the U.S. Senate. I hope that every time. That doesn't mean I'm disappointed if I don't get there. I'm here to do a job. And if the people want to hire me, I'm ready, willing, and able.
Peter Diamondstone is the Liberty Union candidate for the U.S. Senate, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's my pleasure.